get her stuff down here. So, you know, as those of you guys that got truck, got time. I don't, like I said, she don't have a whole lot of stuff. It's not a bunch of, just got to go from Troutville to Buckhannon. So send out a message, Christine, if you can help her. Hopefully they'll get the place, because I don't know what else the other option is out there for. John chapter 14, verse 12. And I'll go to some other verses too, but this is the main one. John 14:12, Jesus speaking not too long before he's going to be betrayed by Judas and, turned over, trial, everything that's going to take place will be coming up here pretty soon. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a pretty positive statement. Pretty straightforward is what he said. Now, when Jesus began his public ministry, when he first began and he started calling disciples, and he kind of spoke to them about the same thing that he's speaking about now, and it had to do with praying. He talked to them about praying. But it's a different thing now. It's really different than what he first started out. I'll show you when I get into the meat of this thing. It's a little bit different. The early disciples were kind of beginning school. They were in the kindergarten class of the school of Christ, in the school of prayer. They were just learning. They just found out about this the new birth and all those things. Well, they didn't even know about that yet, because he hadn't gone to the cross, but he was pointing them that way. He was leading them that way to this new covenant, this new testament, this new life. He was leading them to that. And of course, when they started, they didn't know much. They didn't know hardly anything. And they didn't know much about prayer. They didn't know anything really about prayer, like a lot of people today. And their prayer, when they did learn about prayer, like a lot of people's prayer today, still it revolves around self a lot of personal needs. Some of them are needful things, and we revolve around things we need to have spiritually, those type things as well. But now the personal training time is coming to an end. Jesus is going to go to the cross, be crucified, resurrect. He's going to ascend. He's going to send the Holy Spirit down to dwell in the believers, and all this stuff would apply to us as well. And we're going to be the people that take his place on earth. And more specifically, probably more technically, is we're going to be the people that Christ works through, his will on earth, but he's working through us. We're going to be the ones that are on doing the groundwork. And so it's a whole new thing, and he's speaking about that. He's talking to these people because he's about to go, the early disciples, and like I say, these things would apply to us. So the first lesson, I just put the points down this way, the first lesson. Early on in that school of prayer, Jesus taught them some things that they had to know. We have to know it too. He taught them that in prayer they must be childlike. Talked about a childlike faith. He talks about praying believingly, that you have to pray believing. You know, you have to just trust and believe when you pray. You have to do that. And you have to trust the Father to give you everything good. You have to do that. And so now he's going to take us to, he goes a little higher in the plane. He gets up a little farther, and we'll see that. Now they've been taught, they've learned lessons, he's had illustrations that went with all the lessons, and they learned a lot about Jesus. They learned all they could. I mean, they walked with him, they ate with him, slept with him, went everywhere. They saw how Jesus acted, responded, reacted. They saw how he dealt with people on a personal basis. How he handled situations. They saw all that and everything, and they learned about the Father. Jesus was teaching them about the Father. And now Jesus is about to entrust them, and the same thing that he entrusted them with, he's entrusted us with. He's about to trust them with all the work for the kingdom of God. He's entrusted us with that. And now they're prepared for greater works. It said in our text, I've preached on this before. He said, greater works than what I've done, you're going to do it. Wow. That's what he said, right? That's what he said right there in the verse. Look what it said. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, what I have done, shall he do." Why? Because I go unto my Father. He tells them that. Wow. Greater works. The reason being, because Jesus in his humanity, before he was exalted, he was limited some way. You know, but now that he is exalted, he sends the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the works. And it's, you know, it's going to be Jesus everywhere. He's not going to be limited geographically. He's not going to be limited by space and time. He's going to be in the hearts of every real true believer. He's going to be in the heart of every real true believer all over the world. Millions. Millions of Christians all over the world doing it at the same time. Doing it at the same time. You know, that's what he's talking about, greater in number. It's going to be greater in number. And prayer is going to be the channel that's going to get done, how it's going to get done. That's going to be the channel that the power would be received. Now, you notice, I never noticed this. The disciples really didn't begin to pray, other than one place I could say we could lay on it. They never but prayed until the ascension. There's not one recorded prayer of a disciple in the Gospels, other than if you want to take Peter when he was about to drown, when he wanted to walk on the water, he said, "Lord, help me." I don't know if that was a prayer or a statement. Jesus was standing right there, a cry for help. We said that, but there's not a recorded prayer. I never really noticed that before. We don't have any prayers. We have a lot of them of Paul and that after the ascension, but not before the ascension. They ask about it. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They wanted to know something about it. And there was a lot of failure associated with what they tried to do on earth too. Now, I don't know that they didn't pray, but we don't have it recorded. They said, one time, remember, they asked Jesus, they said, "How come we can't cast out this demon out of this boy?" And he said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting," which was an indication of what? They hadn't prayed and fasted. They hadn't done it. They hadn't been doing it. See, that was an indication of that. So there was a lot of failure there. Peter failed at the trial of Jesus. Little maid just accused him, didn't have any courage. Failure in prayer, didn't know how to pray, didn't know what to do. But what's going to happen now, Jesus is talking to him and he said, listen, of course it was going to be after Pentecost when he sent the Holy Spirit, after he ascended and he sent the Holy Spirit back. They were going to know how to pray then. They were going to know something about prayer, and it was going to be a brand new day. And from that day forth, because Jesus went to the Father, verse 13 I just read, he said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That will I do. And so it's going to be a brand new day for these guys. Now Jesus no longer on earth bodily. And the disciples, including us, are his body. We're the body. We're his body. He's working in this body. Man, this is different. It's all, and all the work. Now think about this. All the work that's going to get done by Christ is going to be done through us. Amen. He's in trouble, right? All the work that's going to get done is going to get done through us. It's really him doing it through us. But that's how it's going to get done. That's his plan. That was the whole plan for everything. You would think that we wouldn't be able to accomplish greater works than what Jesus did on earth. You would think we wouldn't be able to accomplish greater works. That's probably what they thought. I mean, while Jesus was on earth, you thought he would do greater works, but Jesus said no. He said, "You're going to do greater work. You're going to do the works that I do, and you're going to do greater works. Greater in number. Greater in number. I mean, we'll have all the power that he had." Verse 12 tells us that. It just said it. He said, greater works. That's what I'm going to do. at the cross and the resurrection. Because of that, Jesus broke down the power of sin. He broke down he gave the power of eternal life, had that to take possession and give supremacy over human life. That's what he gave to the disciples. That's what he gave to us. During Jesus' 3 years of ministry on earth, he gathered little more than 500 followers, about 500. Now there's millions. There's millions of Christians all over the world, been millions down through the ages, all because of the disciples, Jesus working through people. Now millions empowered by the new birth, praying in Jesus' name to do his work. He said, he that believeth on me, this is the key. He that believeth on me, the key to the power that Jesus received from the Father, power to do greater works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now here's the second lesson. Whosoever prays must work. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Whosoever wants to do the work of Jesus must pray in his name, and whosoever prays in his name must work in his name. Them two go hand in hand. That's where these verses apply. I'm going to show you here in just a minute. That's not at all saying that you just pray anything you want to and it's going to take place. If you're praying to do the work, that's when he's going to answer the prayer. That's what he said. You know, there's a progression in the prayer that I probably could have put back in that last point there. Look at the progression. Man, they said, the disciples said to Jesus, say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said this. He said, okay, this is the outline. This is really, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not really the Lord praying. John 17 is the Lord praying. They said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus was speaking. Okay. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a good point. What did he tell them? What's he telling them? Put God first. God, give God glory. Honor God first. We seldom do that. We usually just give him our requests. But put God first. Honor God first. And he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's a key thing. That's a key thing. And then he went on. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. However you want, which verse you look at. But look at that. There's a lot of us, our, us, and us. Self-centered. Still self-centered. Now those are needed things, but it's still revolving around the personal growth, the personal need of the disciples in that sense. It's not a prayer about for the work. It's things that's needed for the work, but it's not prayer about the work. And not that he wouldn't grant those. He'll grant those. But see, these are the baby steps. These are the baby steps. Daily bread, that's physical and spiritual, but you know, you got to have that. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Debts of others or trespasses, if you go to that. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. You know, we can, all those things we need. All personal requests. Not bad requests. But it's really dealing with the inner spiritual need, and it really falls into the category of preparation. Preparation. But now the asking gets a lot higher. See, we get out of the kindergarten stage of prayer life, and it gets to a higher thing, and we get to the work stage. And now they're really going to need something. And now the prayer life is to be for power, wisdom, to bear fruit, to do God's will on earth. The model prayer, think about this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Little did they know that they would be the instruments that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're the ones. We talk about, God, your will be done on earth. And we just sit back and think, well, boy, I hope it's God's will going to get done on earth. Sure wish God straightened out all this political mess and all this other stuff, right? No. God's will is going to get done on earth through us. They didn't know that. We didn't know that way back in the early days. They didn't know that when they were learning how to pray to death. You know, Jesus probably, I don't know what kind of sense of humor, I know he had one because we're made in the image of God and we got one, right? I don't know when he was thinking, he said, yeah, teach you to pray, you ain't got a clue what you're praying about. And you're asking, yeah, that thy will going to be done? Yeah, you're right, it's going to be done, but I'm going to do it through you. Uh-oh, now your prayer's going to change, see. Now you know what the commission is. Now you've got your marching orders, right? That now we got to go out and we're going to fulfill that request. Now we got to pray for something else, right? Now we got to pray differently. You know, it's a deeper prayer. We're going to have a request that has to do with God's will on earth. Jesus said no less than 6 times in those unlimited prayer promises. He said, whatsoever, anything, what you will, ask and receive. Hey, he kept telling them that. But it all had to revolve around getting his work done, his will done on earth. Not our will done on earth. See, that, and so a lot of times, listen, so many people have taken those things out of, well, if you just pray anything in Jesus' name, well, Lord, I hope when I look at my bank account on Monday in Jesus' name that there's $1 million in there, amen, right, for my glory, you know, for my, no, he's not answering that prayer. And then so many people get disappointed because the prayer doesn't get answered. What's the prayer? The prayer that gets answered is the one that's going to be for his will, that's going to glorify the Father. That's the prayer that's going to get answered. That's why we fail in prayer all the time. We got to see what he's really talking about here. Listen, if we pray that for our needs, our will to be done, we're going to be disappointed. Why? Who's supposed to be the servant here? But when we say, Jesus, I need this done for me, we're making him the servant. We're making him our servant. We're supposed to be his servant. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing. We're supposed to be his servant. Not he's not to be our servant. But when it comes to getting his work done, his will done, Jesus gives us the use of his name in prayer in conjunction with doing his works. Look right here. You can go right over one page. 15:7. John 15:7. That's what he said. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. If. Now I said if. You ought to underline that. If ye abide in me. And my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, look right in verse 16. He said in the same chapter, 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And look right here, in context, not out of context, but right in context of the text. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What are you asking for? That ye may bring forth fruit, that you may bear fruit. Now see, when we get praying on that ground, on the working ground, Lord, I want to bear fruit in Jesus' name. Guess what? God's going to give you whatever you need. Like, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Brian, you got to deal with somebody for 3 hours at that. You need wisdom, right? Lord, put the words in my mouth. You know why? Because we don't have the words. So we got to have that. Is he going to answer that prayer? Sure. You know? But selfish prayers, self-centered prayers, that's where we get disappointed. That's where we're defeated. It's all about, you know, the work. If you abide, when we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, what did Jesus want to do the whole time he was on earth? He wanted to glorify the Father. He wanted to glorify. What's he want to do now? He wants to glorify the Father. The same. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. But now how's he doing it? Through us. He's going to glorify the Father through us. And when we pray in his name for whatever we need to glorify the Father, guess what? He's going to answer the prayer. Why would he say, well, I ain't answering that prayer. Well, you know what? I mean, That's what he's going to do. He's going to answer the prayer when we pray in Jesus' name that we can glorify the Father by doing God's will here on earth. What he taught them all the way back at the very beginning of kindergarten, they didn't have a clue till they got down here. And they don't have really the total clue here till after the ascension of Christ and after the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And boy, I'm telling you what, the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the power, it's really, and we got a crucified life, and a crucified man can't do anything, but a resurrected man can, and Christ is resurrected in us, we can get it. This is what it is. This is what it all boils down to. That's the lesson that he's trying to teach right there. These promises are of answered prayer for the disciple who lives only for Jesus' work and kingdom and lives for his will and his glory. Those promises are for that person. Not just anybody out here praying some willy-nilly prayer about who knows what, don't mount up to a hill of beans forever, you know, that we have to, why they don't get answered. So prayer teaches and strengthens us for the work, and the work teaches and strengthens us for prayer. Huh? Listen, you're going to work for Jesus, you're going to need prayer. That's just the way it is, man. It's so many other things that we have to deal with. Now, that's the second lesson. The third lesson is, it's in verse 13, the last little part of John 14, 13b. Look at what it says. I got it underlined. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, read the whole thing because it's good. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? Or for what reason or purpose? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father's going to be glorified in the Son. This is it. This is the reason that Jesus, this narrows it all down. The reason that Jesus will do everything we ask in his name in this vein. Every answer to prayer he gives will have this as its objective. The this being glorifying the Father. That's it. He'll answer every prayer. Every prayer that we pray for the purpose of glorifying the Father, he'll answer that prayer. That I'll do. He'll never turn it down. This is the key. You say, well, I don't know. I never had no prayers that get answered. Start praying along that line and you'll have them answered every single time. That's what he said. He has to do it or else he's lying right here. He's got to do it. It was a central thought in Jesus' prayer. If the Father will not be glorified by the request, then Jesus won't do it. If he's just not going to do it. In John chapter 5, verse 30, last part of that, I wrote it down. You don't have to turn there. That's what Jesus said. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's it. That was the keynote of Jesus' life. I seek not mine own will. Remember when he was in Gethsemane? He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If it's possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was his keynote, but the will of the Father. In the Lord's Prayer, the actual Lord's Prayer, say just over a few pages in John chapter 17, this is when Jesus began to pray. Matter of fact, it reads this way. The words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, and look what he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the keynote of his life. Glorifying the Father. That's what he said. Glorify me that I may. How was he going to glorify him? Resurrection. That was it. So what's Jesus want to do today? Does his wants change? Has his will changed? No, he still wants to glorify the Father. How's he going to do it? Going to do it through us. Huh? And how are we going to do it? Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Crucified life. Huh? That was it. That's it. Death. All failure in our prayer life involves our position on glorifying God. All our failure in prayer life revolves around that. Our position on glorifying God. And it has to be, listen, this has to be a thing. It has to be our life. You can't just get here and all of a sudden, or you're at home and you say, well, I got a prayer request for Jesus, so now all of a sudden I'm going to get in a spiritual mode and decide that for this moment I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to glorify the Father because of the Son, and now I'm going to pray so that in Jesus' name so he'll answer my prayer. No, it has to be our life, the life, our whole life. This has to be what it is. We can't attain a life that glorifies God by any of our own effort. That's another problem. We struggle with that. We do. We just struggle with that, trying to do it in our own strength and wisdom. Boy, you know when we got it all figured out? We got it all figured out. We don't pray. We don't pray all that much. Boy, I can get me a slick outline, boy. I got that baby alliterated, man. I mean, you know, one of them rare times. I got it alliterated. Everything like it starts with the same letter, ends with the same ing or something. Boy, it's good. I look at, boy, this is good. Man, do I feel like I need to pray before I go preach it? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think, yeah, man. I mean, not that I didn't pray while I was, you know, studying and this and that and the other thing. But you get out there, man, you just think, oh, I got it all. When we got it all figured out, a lot of times we don't pray. But see, God can't get any glory in that. God can't be glorified in that. He takes the weak things of the world, right? This is what he does. Only a surrendered and crucified life. A resurrected life of Christ in us. Only that. That's the only thing that'll do it. That's all we do. We just get out of the way and do that. And like I said, too often much of our prayers for personal joy, personal pleasure, profit, sometimes we pray about this. Here's a good anti-illustration, I guess. We get in a bad circumstance in life. How many of us pray, Lord, if this is what your will is, that I go through this to glorify the Father, then so be it. How many of us just pray, Lord, get me out of this. Get me out of this mess. You know, that's what we, Lord, you know, fix this, help that, do this. Or God, what about God, if this is your will? Maybe the mess you're in is the will of God, that the Father can be glorified, you know. Never, you know, Jesus, I mean, he prayed. He said, Lord, if it's possible for this cup to pass, I don't blame him. But he said, nevertheless, he said, not my will be done, your will be done, if it's going to glorify you. And, well, there it was. That's the thing. And so our prayers don't get answered a lot of times. And so here we think about this. You know, I think the Word of God, you know, should bring us to a place of confession sometime. You know, we got to say, we wonder how much do we do that doesn't glorify God? How much praying do we do that the objective is not to glorify the Father by the Son? You know, it's not that. But Jesus promises here, boy, when it is, he's going to answer the prayer. He's going to answer the prayer every time that he get the glory. So what do we do? We got to confess, right? That's what preaching does. You know, that's what repentance is. You never repent till you confess. You never repent till you admit it. How did Jesus glorify God? By dying. That's how he glorified God, by dying. He could have done all the things. He could have taught all the disciples from way back all the way up to right here where we're at in our text, that part of it, and not gone to the cross. It wouldn't have glorified the Father. He couldn't have glorified the Father. He had to die. How are we going to glorify God? God the Father, we got to die. We got to die to self. We got to die to self. We got to live for God. That's how we glorify God. And if Christ lives in us, this is if he's living in us, then we can do that. We can do it. And then we're in harmony with Christ, and he will do what we ask. See, that's really, you know, if you can get your head around that, it's simple. It's not that hard. But we're in harmony with Christ. What kind of prayer are we going to pray? It'll really be him praying, right? Not us. It'll be his will. I mean, when we're in harmony with Christ, we're not going to pray out of the will or, you know, off on some tangent. We're going to be in harmony with Christ. And that's the key. He will do what we ask. Why? Because it'll be his will and not our will. Amen?
Amen.
All right, not too long. Let's stand and have heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray here tonight, Lord, help us. Help us to realize our purpose here on earth. We've stated it, Lord. We know that our purpose is to glorify God, but how are we going to glorify God? But it's by surrendering our will to your will, and that'll be the only way that we'll get that done in this life. And help us to do that in all we say and do, glorify you. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for your word. We thank you for the promises, Lord. Just help us to understand them a little better and a little deeper. We've been in school a long time, and, Lord, we need to be serving you, Lord, and worshiping you, putting all these petty little differences behind us, Lord, and the drama that goes on in our personal lives, our Christian lives, that takes so much away from what we're trying to do, things that go on internally, Lord. And we're not getting anything done for you, Lord, because we're too busy having to fool with that. And I pray, Lord, that we can understand it, Lord, and be sincere and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And so help us to confess our failures here, Lord, and with others, and just be a vessel that you can fill and use. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.